Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And if you're listening, looking to just, you know, put yourself through the pain of World Cup final defeat, well, that's in our feed already. If you're an England fan, if like JB, you're looking to relive the glory of not having to deal with England fans having just won the World Cup, then that is in your feed already.
Yes, it is.
So hit subscribe. This podcast right now, we're talking domestic rugby.
The only type of rugby.
Well, for the foreseeable, yeah. Until the Six Nations, you're absolutely right. So, and let's jump straight into it. Now, it's now going to be back on the menu properly for a lot of people. I imagine domestic rugby for a lot of people has kind of been a luxury. Now it's the main course again.
Exactly right. And we can now focus on what's really important, which is the Premiership and then Europe, of course, which is only around the corner.
And the Pro 14.
And the Pro 14. And the Tour 15.
Yep.
So, yeah, lots and lots to focus on.
Have you been watching every game?
I wouldn't say I've watched every game.
I watched three games this weekend.
Excluding the international, I watched two games.
It's amazing how much playing fantasy rugby draft makes you really, really get. I mean, I'm into it anyway. Obviously,
yeah. I mean, I don't like talking about fantasy rugby draft because it's boring if you don't play in our league. But it is interesting to see how the commissioner's bandwagon is rolling on. Three wins consecutively now for the first 15.
Which might be the first time you've ever won three games.
Well, obviously I was a playoff contender. I had 2 years of not taking it too seriously. And now
2 years of being the worst team in our league.
Well, the thing is, Tim, I had a strategy and I've implemented the same strategy for 3 years now. And I think this year is the year it pays off. My wagon, fantasy rugby-wise at least, is firmly hitched to Steve Diamond.
Fantasy rugby wise, and a few other of your wagons are hitched to that particular.
Well, some of their players are scoring good points in fantasy rugby draft.
Ooh.
Sale with very, very little disruption to their side due to the World Cup.
Yeah, fair. I mean, they're only missing one of the world's best locks and one of the world's best scrum halves. But
they're not missing one of the world's best locks.
Yeah.
They signed him knowing that he wouldn't be here.
And of course, you know, they're missing one of the world's best sevens and also
two of the world's best sevens.
Yeah. So they've got that, I guess. Well, three actually, because one went to watch the other one play and the other one was on the bench.
Okay.
But yes, I do take your point.
They've lost two out of their first three games.
Well, like I said last week, it is bloody fortunate that I'm not a sale fan, because if I was, this weekend might have pushed me over the edge. It might have been very hard to watch.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but the success story, the story that he's building at Franklin's Gardens is gathering a pace.
Isn't it?
It's not just the results.
No.
It's the way they're doing it.
It's the way they're doing it.
Yeah. Love it. Love it.
And in the way that Japan captured the imagination and England's performance against New Zealand captured the imagination and made people think maybe there is a way of playing that could...
Hold that thought.
Yeah.
Hold that thought. We spoke on the last podcast, go and listen to it, about potential coaches with the breadth of experience who could come into the England job. Chris Boyd, anyone?
We don't need to. Eddie Jones is there.
Chris Boyd, anyone? If Eddie Jones wanted to transition over to someone, he walks away?
No, he's got a job to do at Northampton, and with a lot of young players there, I want him nurturing them for England's benefit.
Yeah, and the only top flight or international experience he's got is with the New Zealand under-20s for a couple of years before he took the Hurricanes job.
Were they any good?
Fairly handy, but it's not. It's a totally different setup. So, don't get me wrong, I really like Chris Boyd. I like him from his Hurricanes days. Mm. I love what he's doing with Northampton at the moment. Mm. He's doing it in the right way, but I'm not sure he has quite got that breadth.
Sam Vesti is a potential England attack coach in years to come.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike Brown mentioned he'd been with them in, was it Argentina in 2013? That's done just a brief stint with England, and Mike Brown spoke very highly.
He was also very highly thought of in Worcester when he was attack coach there. Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're doing very nice things. And this game was interesting because Harlequin started the first 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it was, maybe not even 5 or 10 minutes, maybe the first 5 minutes, very brightly. Worked territory, worked the 3 points.
Very brightly, though, that is mainly due to their disgusting kit. No, every time they wear that green kit, they don't deserve to win.
Yeah, we need to talk about this. I have a few issues with Premier Rugby, mostly around the fact that they've got the best competition in the world and don't really promote it. The second thing I've got an issue with is, why on earth do you have a team that plays in green playing a team that plays not in green, changing into a green strip? For what reason? For what possible reason?
It's some sort of self-flagellation going on when Harlequins put that kit on. I genuinely think you can't look around that dressing room before kickoff, and even if it's just in the back of your mind, a little 1%, going, that shirt my teammates are wearing and I'm wearing is disgusting.
It is disgusting.
That guy looks like an idiot. And that guy looks like an idiot. We all look like idiots.
The people are laughing at us, boys. They're laughing at us. And now we're losing.
They started very brightly. But then it was the Nairavoro train set off from the track.
That guy's a tank.
And once he did some close quarters stuff and he picked and go a couple of times and got absolutely no change.
Yep.
That is not his game. It's when he's in full flight, he is just unstoppable. His first try,
yeah,
where he hands off, what's his name, Ishmael.
And in the only way to hand someone off.
He flies back like 5 yards and skittles. I can't remember who it was. Was it Aaron Morris? He takes out two guys with one handoff.
I thought
it's like a kung fu.
He pushed
film
one into another, didn't
he? Yeah, I remember Aaron Morris writing off the other guy, Ishmael.
Either way round, whichever way it was, he wrote off both of them as he casually jogged to the try line.
What would he be like? Because he's only got two caps for Australia.
Yeah.
What would he do at international level? Would he be exposed? Because I'm looking at it going, how have Australia not just like used him as a game?
Well, he's been twice, I guess.
Well, twice, but that's it. But
him and Bastro in the same team would be interesting.
I think he did get exposed a little bit last year defensively, decision-making defensively when people go out wide and picking the wrong man. But you can't imagine, because he's so unique, it can't be that far-fetched to conceive a game plan that incorporates that talent, even if it is just as a impact player off the bench.
Yeah, he's...
There is, and particularly for like finals rugby when you're getting close games, just having... I mean, if you give him the ball in full flight, it's a full 3-4 players it takes to bring him down. So you must be able to use that in some way.
Yeah, I'm surprised they've not used it more.
Yeah.
And what a sight he is in full flow,
in
as
full
you
flight.
Say.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
So that does, having him on the pitch as an out for Northampton to spread the ball wide is brilliant. But then I love the way that they've brought in some of their own young lads, like Furbank, like Hutchinson, Grayson and Henry Taylor. Collins, who's probably not even that old. Has been
Henry Taylor was at Saracens, but surplus to requirements there, yeah.
But Grayson and the other boys.
Yeah.
Just having a look at pictures of Inga Twigamola, and because that's who he reminds me of. And I'm looking at pictures of Inga Twigamola. He looks tiny compared to Nairavoro.
Nairavoro is one of the few rugby union players who would look great in WWE.
Yeah, him and obviously Piers Spies and Chris Tremlett, the cricketer. Who else would there be? Joe Marler would look great in WWE.
Yeah, of course.
Great.
He looks like Zangief out of Street Fighter, as it is.
Yeah, yeah, Jamal Ford Robinson has actually done wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a Crisis with a K.
Yeah.
And maybe a Y in there as well. Crisis.
Snayman could be a heel.
Oh, yes.
Definite heel.
Yes, Snayman would be brilliant.
And Whitelock as well. Could be two good heels.
Yeah. Mm, interesting. Yeah, all of the key subjects hit here. What were we talking about? Northampton.
Northampton.
It's not so much that they're winning games. It's how they're winning them. Mm. And it's also the lads they're bringing through. What I like the most about it is Northampton are on this trajectory, and I think a lot of clubs do this, which is, hey, we've got our big players and they've got to play because we pay them lots of money. And you get a fresh set of eyes in, and over the course of a year, he's basically reinvented the team. He's brought in lads from the academy who can play. They have not been afraid to extend the players who you might think should be on their way out, but actually add something more to the team. So Tom Ward is a great example of that.
Yeah, someone who has real leadership qualities.
Yeah. And I think it's just, really, really, really cool.
Right? Players have got to come back in as well. Like, again, with the other thing, with what's going on at the top of the table with the two finalists from last year, with Saracens and what's rumoured to be around the corner any day now, which we can get into and in a little bit, and Exeter, as we've been talking about in recent podcasts, just kind of not quite clicking, then Northampton are bobbling away nicely with Courtney Laws to come back in, with
Dan Bigger
to come back in. Big players.
Owen Franks arrive. Matt Proctor, who is a very handy centre outside back.
Lewis Ludlam. Yeah.
Nice options.
I mean, for me, Northampton have sort of solved half the riddle, which is get to the playoffs. I think they will get to the playoffs. It's early doors yet, but they're going to get there. The other half of the riddle is, how do you win a playoff game? Are they going to be good enough at that top level of Premiership rugby when you've got to beat Exeter? Presumably you've got to beat Exeter and Saracens.
And or Saracens.
Yeah. So
you've got to beat at least one of those.
It's actually harder for them to win than Exeter or Saracens, because Exeter and Saracens only have to beat one of the other.
If you
are a third party to this dance,
you most likely have to beat both of them.
Exactly.
This is a good year for Northampton to be attempting that. One, it's a World Cup year, and the teams around them are arguably, the big teams around them are arguably more affected. Well, yep. Gloucester excluded, who were affected the least.
Although they struggled this weekend.
They did. But also because the playoffs will be happening in June.
The
playoffs will be happening in June, which is like, so it's going to be some decent weather for some running rugby.
Isn't it? Northampton.
Yeah.
So the teams that will suit are Northampton, and also last year's number four team or number three team, Gloucester. Because Gloucester will love a nice dry track.
Yeah, with Woodward and Ollie Thorley.
There's a couple of teams up there, it's just not quite clicking. Gloucester and Exeter being two of them. Yeah, all the components are there, all the bits and pieces are there, but it's just not flowing.
They both won two games as well, two out of three.
Yeah.
But you're right, it's the manner of those wins. Like Exeter's win against Worcester, which I watched today, or yesterday, if this goes out on Tuesday.
Yesterday.
I'm getting confused. Was not a comprehensive victory for Exeter by any stretch of the imagination, and it was only a 35-phase pick-and-go session with 5 minutes to go that won them the game.
Yeah, which, of course, is a very Exeter way to go and win a game.
Oh, absolutely an Exeter way to win a game. But the story is probably that Worcester took a handsome lead. They scored the first two tries. Duncan Weir was kicking very nicely, controlling the game and taking points where they were on offer. And it took from the Kvesic pushover try to that phased Harry Williams try right at the end for Exeter to actually pull it out of the bag.
Yeah. I don't know if I just suffer from low expectations here, but I'm really impressed with Worcester, even though they've been losing. I mean, they won one. They won one against Leicester, and apparently they weren't that impressive. Did they win last week as well?
No, they've only won one.
Like how they're playing. They seem to make good interventions against Exeter when it mattered. And, you know, Exeter being Exeter, they won. But I just feel that they're on the right track.
They are. I think that they're definitely on the right trajectory. The thing that will be disappointing, if you're a Worcester fan in this game, is you had the opportunity, and it had the defence held out, and it held out for 34 phases, but it couldn't hold out for 35 phases.
If
the defence holds out for that, then it is a famous win for them. But those are the kind of games. This is not the only... This is a this is a good Exeter Chiefs team playing not that well. But they will have other games like this that are arm wrestles at home that are winnable, and yeah. they have to convert them into 4-point wins and not only get the losing bonus points.
I like that Exeter won this because they're not playing as well as they have. They're not as fluent.
No.
And last year they got a hatful of try bonus points, home and away, scored crazy numbers of tries and just played with a fluency that we sort of thought, wow, add Stuart Hogg into the mix there and they're going to be... Yeah,
Bring
Woodburn back fit, and that's like up. You know, that's like two top players, and they're not clicking yet.
Bring Simmons back as well.
Sam Simmons,
who was missing for a lot of last season, but who's so good when Exeter are playing that way.
Mm. I wonder if we are going to see the revival of Ollie Cuthbert, because that's the guy I went to school with.
Alex Cuthbert.
As I predicted before the season started.
Is it going to be the second season Kvesic thing? Kvesic syndrome?
Yeah. Well, we have talked about this for Exeter, actually. What you see a lot at Exeter is players in their second season really kick on.
Yeah, Ollie Woodburn.
Great example.
Yeah, same, his second
Ollie
season.
Ollie Devoto.
Devoto, yeah. Both of those.
Kvesic.
Kvesic's a great
Kvesic is, because he had a great run, not Kvesic, the other guy who I was just talking about, the winger, the big winger for Wales, the Lions winger,
Alex Cuthbert.
Thank you. he had a great little mazy run against Bath, and he broke the line quite nicely today. And I wonder if we're just going to see a little bit more from him, which would be good. It'd be good for Wales. Mm. It could be essential for Wales, actually. Does he have enough caps? Does he still qualify? He must have enough caps.
Did they make him an offer? I get confused with Wales's cap system, because it's like a two-tier thing, isn't it? If you've had a market rate offer from Wales,
yes,
and
I hate that
have
idea.
Enough caps.
He's not eligible.
Is he not?
No.
I hate the idea that
under the current system,
if you have a market, I mean, who decides the market rate?
WIU.
Yeah, but surely the person deciding the market rate is the person, willing to pay you. Yeah. That's the market rate.
No, but then it's a market rate offer from Wales.
Yeah.
So I think what they would say is if Exeter Chiefs offer to pay you £300,000. And the WRU through Ospreys also offered to pay you £300,000. Is that the way around it can go? I'm getting confused with the system myself because it seems nonsensical.
With how little Jack Noll played in the Rugby World Cup, will he have to do the full 5-week stand down?
I thought it was only a 2-week stand down.
Oh, it's a 2-week. Oh, no. I think, is it 5 weeks they have
in
to
total
over the season? Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll have 3 weeks before you go away and 2 weeks when you come back. Something like that.
Yeah.
Depending on. Yeah, what you want to do, what the clubs want to do.
I imagine players like Noel, when he gets back fit, assuming he's not fit, and Piers Francis and Jack Singleton and Rory McConachy and Thokkana Singer and Ben Spencer, they won't need to play to have the full stand on period.
So I'm going to lose my mind now. Cuthbert needs 70 caps to qualify for Wales. Is that right? Is it 50 caps?
I thought it was 60.
60. How many caps do you think he has?
22.
No, more than that. Because he was
22.
22.
No, go on.
Yeah, more than that.
I don't know. Because he's a Lion as well.
Yeah. Ooh. He probably had 5 or 6 years. I want to say 5 years where he was there or thereabouts.
10 games a year.
50 caps. But a few less. 40 caps.
65 caps.
65.
So he does qualify.
65
then.
Caps. So he does qualify. Can do what he wants. Market rate or not, Alex Cuthbert should be coining it in somewhere. And he probably is.
Well, do you know what? He has a good year at Exeter. He's putting pressure on George North.
Yeah, well, it used to be George North and another. It's now
Josh Adams.
And another. Adams and Josh Adams' mate.
The disappointment for Wales was Steph Evans.
Wasn't he?
Electric.
Hang
for
on.
A couple of
well,
seasons.
Wales is littered with talented players that never done anything. What's the other guy? Jordan Williams?
Jordan Williams.
Where's he? Dragons or somewhere?
Hallam Amos.
In fact, Dragons
took his try quite nicely on Friday.
He did.
Who's the other one?
Matthew Morgan.
Yeah, Matthew Morgan. Good
electric.
One. Matthew Morgan went to the World Cup, the last World Cup, as a bloody championship player.
Tyler Morgan.
Gavin Henson, don't know if you remember him.
Never went to a World Cup.
Sam Davis now is at the Dragons. Is just a graveyard of disgrace, isn't it?
What was the Kiwi fullback that turned out wasn't Welsh?
Howarth.
Yeah, Shane Howarth.
Bloody hell. That's coming back a few years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. That's a nice little segment on Alex Cuff. Just a little bit concerned about Exeter. I mean, the pack is there, but they're not as effective as they were.
Dave Ewers isn't quite the Dave Ewers. There's just a lot of players that are a little bit off where you hope they will be. Don Armand hasn't played yet.
What is that?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's an injury.
Yeah.
So,
because Ewers and this Vermaelen boy, they're in that mould, aren't they?
Yeah.
Where do they find this Vermaelen fella?
The Don Armand mould.
How do they do it? How do they keep finding these absolute monsters?
Yeah.
Is Vermaelen by any chance Zimbabwean?
I assume he's South African.
He is South African.
Are you definitely sure?
Him and Yanis Kirsten, who's been on the bench lately, but
he actually came on today.
Yeah, but remember, this is a back line that will have. I know he was on the bench this week, but Nick White at scrum half, Ollie Devoto, Henry Slade,
Jack Knoll, Ollie Woodburn.
That's seriously, and that's added to Stuart Hogg and Alex Cuthbert.
Yeah. I know Flaherty, who didn't do much this week, scored some beautiful tries last season.
He did. A lot of responsibility on Joe Simmons stepping up another level to meet the talent that will be around him soon.
Yeah.
He's clearly a very, very good player. This is a really important season for him because he's now been handed the keys. Steenson is very much his backup. There's rumours circling that Max Malins might be their recruitment for next year.
Yeah, really? I mean, why would Malins be available? Surely he'd sign on with...
Because Saracens have so many fly halves.
So much talent.
Weird.
So much talent.
Wonder why he'd move. Anyway, I'm sure that will develop. I've got bad news for you. There's no evidence here that Vermaelen, on Wikipedia at least, is actually Zimbabwean, which is upsetting.
That is disappointing, isn't it? They could have filled in a full Zimbabwean back row, were that the case.
Yeah, Cornish Zimbabwean?
It was Horstman.
Yeah, so
they had
all three of them.
Yeah,
which is a shame, really. But you know, let's not forget they've managed to get a 24-year-old South African second row who's 6'5", and no one actually mentioned it. No one actually mentioned that he arrived. I bet he's amazing.
In the same podcast where I said watch out for Alex Cuthbert when we were doing our pre-season review, I said keep an eye out for Jacques Vermaelen.
So weirdly, what happened to the other guy who they signed?
Yanis Kirsten.
No, the other guy, the other massive South African.
What?
They've got another one as well, second row, that he's got a funny name. I can't remember his name. He came from Worcester. He must have been like eighth choice Worcester, and then he showed up at Exeter.
Really?
Yeah, I'll find his... I can't remember his name now.
I know they got...
I was certain that guy would turn into like the world's best lock within a few weeks.
Oh.
Was this a couple of seasons ago or last season?
I think it was last season. It was his first year.
Oh, what's his name?
I'm sure it's like Schluss or something.
Yes. Anyway, I can't remember. But yes, Exeter will be better. They need to be. Gloucester are in the same mould. Two top sides just kind of not clicking, but you can't totally put your finger on... There's not a huge issue. It's just everything's a few percent off.
Well, Gloucester, they've won two out of three.
Yeah.
Although... they would have expected a win at Welford Road in this game. Definitely would have expected it.
Yeah. How much do you think the conditions in general have affected the first few weeks? Because it has been particularly wet every weekend.
Was it wet this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the games were wet.
Yeah, it was wet on Friday night.
It's an interesting mindset because normally you build into the season, so your warm-up games are in August, you start the first few weeks of September, you've got flat tracks, and you almost build your handling into it and you build your cohesiveness as a team as the weather worsens. Whereas now they've just been dumped straight into... I know they had some Premiership Cup in good conditions, but the real teams have just been dumped into bad conditions. Maybe I'm just trying to connect the dots, but maybe that has something to do with it.
Maybe. But it was interesting, again, after talking about the World Cup and... Eddie Jones made some tough decisions and pulled off, I'll say substituted rather than pulled off, substituted Vunipola and Ford quite early on in the second half. Again, Johan Ackermann just went, off he comes, sippers. which was quite it was quite interesting that when you went, ooh.
Wonder if there's any.
You go combine. It's not quite clicking, and Ackerman's going. I'm taking off my main man.
So
yeah, the main man.
The main man.
I mean, I think Gloucester are in a marvellous place. You know, they beat Sale at the AJ Bell. I was lucky enough to watch them, and that was a game that they should have been. They should have been destroyed first half. There's no two ways about it. Sale should have absolutely put them to bed. Second half is a completely different story. They get two tries. And the problem they have there is, I think Billy Twelvetree has missed three kicks, which is just not good enough. And they sort of, in the end, a game which they could have lost, then they could have won handsomely, they kind of snuck through. And this Leicester game is the opposite, which was they should have snuck a draw. And, you know, Billy Twelvetree, again, misses a kick. And I wonder how long they can keep him in kicking duty. Because if you think about, you know, the other guys have got there, they've got the fly half, i.e., either Williams or Sippers can kick. They've got Woodward, who kicked for Bristol and the Hurricanes. I think, can Taylor kick? Not Taylor, what's his name? Marshall.
Marshall can probably slot a few.
Yeah, but they go with 12 trees. And
Very good last season kicking.
He's a very high percentage kicker.
The year before that, he wasn't, though.
His percentages last year were very good.
So he's always been a little bit inconsistent. Once it nearly cost him a game, and it did cost him some points here.
Well, one stat that popped up on the screen during that game over the weekend, he has started or played in, regardless, doesn't really matter, 71 out of the last 72 Premiership games.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Because that is a very important, the robustness. And
is that the Brett Favre of rugby?
Gloucester, no. The importance of having fit centres when you've got Trinder in your squad and Tom Marshall and Thorley, who've all missed games.
It does feel, though, that between Atkinson and Twelvetree, they're pretty consistently the starters now.
Yeah.
But what's interesting, there's a comparison I look at with Gloucester and Exeter, which is why I asked about the conditions, because it just doesn't seem to quite make sense. But they've got these incredible weapons in the back threes aren't really being given the ball that you would expect them to get. In Exeter's case, you can point to the lack of Slade and Devoto in the midfield, maybe affecting things, and Nick White potentially at nine, orchestrating things. For Gloucester, they've got the midfield that they've got the whole midfield axis.
Who did
they normally have?
Missing is Willie Hines.
Willie Hines, yeah.
Who did?
I mean, does Willie Hines make that much difference? He's the kind of the fulcrum of their team.
He's been very important for their team. Yeah.
Quick question: who did Thingy come off for? The Sippers.
Chris Harris.
Did he? Because it's not mentioned in the match report here.
He did. It was quite relative. It was before 60 minutes. It was maybe 50 minutes. Sippers came off, I think.
I'll just have a look for that now. For Chris Harris.
12 trees went to 10.
Ooh.
Atkinson to 12. Yeah. Harris to 13.
41 minutes.
41 minutes. There you go.
41 minutes is when I've got it on the.
Yeah.
I wonder what the story is there then.
Unless there's a knock.
I didn't.
41 minutes is
41 minutes?
Yeah, that's an interesting time.
It must be a knock. He's not done anything that bad in the 1 minute of second half play.
I wasn't paying close enough attention. I was in Greece watching it on an app, and so I didn't. I don't know if they asked that question after the game, or whatever. I'm sure they probably did. But in any case, it was.
That is interesting.
It was an interesting. It was one. So I guess the point being, just like Exeter, these back three players that they've got. Ollie Thorley hasn't really had much ball.
Oh yeah.
No, it's been disappointing for Ollie Thorley this year compared to how electric he was last year.
Yeah. Joe Simpson seems to be a very good signing for them.
Although I, very selfishly, I will say for Ollie Thorley, very selfishly, I want him to score a bag full of points, but I don't want him to be picked in the England squad for the Six Nations because he's in my fantasy rugby draft team. So that's what it all comes down to.
The value of handcuffing.
But you know, you're right about Joe Simpson.
Yeah. And this is, for everything that we've said about Leicester previously, this is a great game for them to win.
Yeah.
A very important game at home for them, and some confidence for some of their young lads.
Is it their first home win since something crazy like February or March or something?
Isn't it amazing?
Does not surprise me. Yeah.
They're at the salary cap, probably. More on that later.
Yeah. Well, let's go there in a sec.
Big club. You know, it's such a history, and they've won one out of three games. It's just not good enough.
And they, no, they lost the last four at home last season. So their first home win in six or in seven games at home.
So I've got multiple teams that I'm concerned about now. In fact, pretty much everyone from Sale Sharks down I'm really concerned about. I mean, it, literally, it is Sale, Wasps, Worcester, Harlequins, Irish, Tigers, Bath, all fundamentally flawed, all could find themselves in an absolute dogfight. I think there are a few teams which will separate themselves from that. Well, probably not, actually.
If it wasn't a World Cup year, then I think you'd look at Bath and go, they're going to be all right.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a World Cup year, you'd look at Leicester and you'd probably be going, they'll be fine.
So, but is it the World Cup which is going to screw them over? I say with Leicester. Or is it the ridiculousness of their coaching situations? You know, I'm not entirely sure that Stuart Hooper, leading up the Bath operation, supported by whoever he's got supporting him.
Gervin Dempsey?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't strike me as a great operation.
Well, add the two
and
of them
Leicester's
together.
And Leicester's is even worse.
Is it the perfect storm when you have the two of them together? Because those two clubs are missing a whole host of stars to the World Cup. And they're missing England stars who, because of the protocols, because of the maximum number of games, etc., will only be available for a handful of Premiership appearances.
Yeah. I know we spoke about Harlequins before. Is anyone worried about them?
I'm not with Quins. They were well and truly beaten by Northampton. But I think they will have enough. And part of that is some of their more experienced England players not making the World Cup squad. Mm. Like Kerr, like Brown, like Robshaw, who will be available for longer. And I know Brown and Kerr weren't playing this weekend. They're both missing. But the leadership that they will give and the stability they will give, I think they'll be enough.
Yeah, I do.
I think Quins will be okay.
Whoever gets relegated is going to have a lot of points.
Although Quins, just on that, if you... I've not got this in front of me, but if you played their last seven or eight games from last season and add it to their three games from this season, they've probably won about 2 in 10 games. Because their form... They were about 15 points clear in the top four.
Yeah, they
and
were.
And it was dreadful form right at the end of the season.
I have to question if the whole... if the, what's the name? The whole Gustard, carved bears and whatever in changing rooms, is it really a great idea? But they're interesting because they seem to be radically changing, Quins. Well, radically changing.
Well, yeah, and the one thing I will say is Gustard has selection policies unlike any other DOR. In the Premiership.
I think I know what you mean, but clarify.
Well, he'll just chop and change. Turn over big numbers of players from one game to the next. Look at the people that have played for Quins on the wing in the last year. You've probably got about 50. Like, Gonover, is he injured, I take it?
Yes, I think he is, actually.
Well, he was in the Fiji squad, wasn't he?
Yes.
But he's obviously back now.
He's back now. Yeah, okay, so he'll be back. Nathan Earle is injured, but...
Yeah, like, Nathan Earle's back.
Travis Ishmael... got the nod this week. It was Caden Murley. Caden Murley the week before.
Turns out Caden Murley's quite good.
Last year he was sort of chopping and changing between Charlie Walker, Tim Visser, didn't get a look in.
Well, Charlie Walker disappeared off the face of the earth. He went to Zebra.
Yeah, but looked great and then disappeared. So it's just, I'm assuming that what he does, and again, Tom Lauday started the first two games at number eight and then wasn't in the match day squad for the next two.
So
I'm imagining what Paul Gustard does is he probably says, Tom Lauday, you're playing the first two games, Don Brandt, you're playing game three and four.
So some gossip on right, is that Don Brandt was held out of the squad because allegedly he's going to a Premiership rival. Yeah, Saints.
Rumoured Saints.
Ooh, exactly. Teach him a lesson before he goes.
I would go with that if it wasn't the case that Gustard just kind of does this, just has people in for two games then gone.
Think about, and then they
come back a few weeks later.
Tell you the weirdest one. Do you remember when they went up to Sale and decided that they absolutely 100% need to play Catrick Haylis? This is the game. We're going to bring Catrick Haylis in. Why? And bought him off after 60. Some of it is really admirable. If you look at that Quins back line, even as seasoned rugby watchers, you're not entirely sure who these lads are. Ishmael, no idea. Ibatoye would be known to under-21s fans, but not someone that we're familiar with. Murley, and before that, Morris, and there's a load of lads in there who just don't really know who they are.
I think Quins will be okay.
Yeah.
I think, and one of the things, did you see the Sean Dyche thing? I think we mentioned
it's very funny, with James Chisholm.
Yeah, and they seem to have done a few other things. They had Lampard and Carrick in there.
Yeah.
So... it's a bit of like team building in a way that's not just...
They had Apache attack helicopters there.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of stuff. So I like the... So there is obviously the stuffed bear, or real bears, or wolves, or whatever it is, whatever yeah. animal of choice it is to scare your defensive line into being a scary defensive line. But I just, I like some of the noises from Gustard, some of the others, some of the selection, and some of the, like Walker and Vissa, being just totally dropped to the point where one goes to zebra and one retires.
It's madness.
Yeah.
And they're good players. I mean, these weren't bad players.
So I wonder how much of that, just thinking as we're talking, how much of that is trying to apply the Eddie Jones mentality of, we want guys who are a certain type of hard work and fitness and mentality. If you don't meet that those criteria, you're out. Which is fine when you're coaching England, or if you're coaching South Africa or New Zealand or France, where you've got an enormous 100-plus, 200-plus player pool at your disposal. When you're a club side, is it the right
thing
to do?
Well, they drew the line, didn't they, with Marlon Dior, said, right, Marlon, you've got
that,
it. You,
that was before...
Yeah, you've got to go, right?
Yeah.
And it feels like they've come in and they've sort of drawn the line with Charlie Walker and whoever else it is.
I don't know you can necessarily equate those two. I don't want to say that... Yeah, let's not go into the ins and outs, but I gather that the harmony wasn't great.
Yes.
Yes.
So here's my question, right? There are obviously lads. There was obviously a movement in Quinns to get the right types of people playing rugby. Get that, really good. But what do you do when some of the lads are just so good that they will play regardless of what their character is? They would never send Sinclair away in a million years. Apparently, he doesn't get on particularly well with Morley. They'd never send Morley away in a million years because he's really good. So half the lads have got to sort of buy into this, you know, write your mother's name on T-shirts nonsense. And the others can effectively probably do what they want.
So I'm not suggesting it's that side of things. I'm wondering if it is the hard work mentality that Eddie Jones likes, because obviously Gustard was part of that setup that built the team. So, that side of things, which obviously Marla and Sinclair fit in perfectly with that.
Yeah, they obviously work hard.
Just like we've talked about Exeter and Gloucester, you'd say suddenly you put Danny Kerr in, you put Mike Brown in. There's a different feel to that Quinn side.
Yeah.
A bit of a steeliness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I wonder how
it wouldn't have affected the result against Northampton.
No, absolutely not.
An interesting dynamic there will be, for the first time in a long time, I really think that Danny Kerr is under serious pressure. Because I think
Landajo
is a real player.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's always had like number twos with him who are just nowhere near his class. Well, this boy is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And they might work quite well as a one and two, as a rotating one and two, because they do actually play quite a similar game.
Mm.
Some of the little dink through, it wasn't this week, it was last week for the Marchant, the little grubber kick, pick up, look at your options, threaten a sniper, grubber kick through,
yeah,
was Danneker right in his wheelhouse.
And then just touching on a few things that I've mentioned, Marcus Smith stepping on another level. We talked about in Joe Simmons with Exeter, a lot of responsibility on Marcus Smith's shoulders.
Yeah, and I don't think last week he did particularly well.
Well, that's why. Yeah, exactly why I mentioned it.
He looked. Was he said that? Someone said it to me, but just had a look of a guy who had been really shaken up.
Yeah, so that would be a worry.
I love his body language and the way he grabs the team by the scruff of the neck. The way he talks, you just get good body language vibes off him. So
I know it's a very. This is very incidental, and I don't know for sure. But I imagine there's something very special about a young man who can come in and play Premiership rugby immediately and start bossing around Jamie Roberts. Like, Jamie, run on this ball for me, please. Like, no, that's not how it's meant to happen ever. So I'm sure it's a bump in the road for him, because he must be a particularly special individual, I would guess.
The greatest player of a generation, potentially. Some might say.
He should have started a World Cup.
England would have won the World Cup, JV,
well,
right?
You know, you can always think, what if?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he wasn't playing well, because he knew it'd cost England the World Cup.
Yeah. What if Ben Ryan was coaching Ben Ryan. Dean Ryan.
Dean Ryan
was coaching Marcus Smith to the World Cup final.
Goodness me, what if Ben Ryan was coaching in the World Cup final?
Right. There's a big elephant in this room we're not mentioned. There are some rumours. There's been some cryptic things said, and we've been deliberately, or well.
Well, you wouldn't let me shut my mouth off.
Yes.
Before anyone else had said anything about it.
Rightly so.
We got a bit nervous.
Rightly so. With such a sensitive issue, I think it's right, only right and proper. Not to be salacious and to report only facts.
Facts are I heard a rumor.
That's good enough for you.
Yeah, it's undisputed.
So now the World Cup is finished. We understand, and the widely held rumors are
via Rugby Pass.
It's been printed in
Daily Mail,
in Rugby Pass now, Daily Mail previously, and just
and wider rumors. Yeah,
wider rumors that the Saracen's salary cap investigation findings
tomorrow
will be published.
Well, today,
possibly today, as you're listening, it may have already happened.
Yeah, if it has been released tomorrow, and if it's what we think, we should really do an addendum podcast to it immediately.
Okay,
read the report. Yeah. Phil can read the report, and then we will do an addendum podcast.
And the rumours that are circling Phil with no cast iron facts attached.
So Rugby Pass are reporting a very, I'm using their words here, a very, very real possibility of a mandatory 35-point deduction for this season's Premiership Rugby.
That is the maximum penalty? Well, no, it's not, is it? They can do more.
Yeah, I mean, they could relegate them, I guess, if they wanted to.
Relegate them.
It's a very significant penalty.
So the reason they've come to that number is there's a sliding scale. So for every amount that you breach the salary cap, it goes up and up and up and up. So judging by those points, you would guess they've spent 600k over their budget.
Which is what the Rugby Pass article is reporting. 650k, yeah.
Ah, right, okay.
It is being reported as the maximum reduction, presumably for this. There might be rules for other, like if there was a team-wide controlled doping program going on, a Russian lab type program, there might be there might be different sanctions.
Let me just jump in here. Has anyone watched Icarus?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Go watch up. Anyway, so back to this.
So the other rumoured sanction is punitive reduction in salary cap for a period of time.
Yes.
I would have a problem with this. Big problem. And not from a player's point of view here, right? Because the whole point of the salary cap is the players have agreed to limit their earnings in order to grow the game faster, effectively. Make a more competitive league, make a better product.
Yeah, it's the RPA, which is the representatives of the players, which agrees to that, which you would automatically think is not in the players' interest.
Yeah.
Or it's not in the short-term interest, but they've done it for the long-term interest of the game.
Yeah, because they've got enough knowledge now at the RPA to say, actually, yes, you know, this will work. But I don't think it's fair, therefore, for Premier Rugby to say, hey, we're going to limit the salary cap, because that means they're limiting payments to their own members, which is not on. So in that case, I think, maybe limit their salary cap, but they still have to pay up to the salary cap, maybe to either a charity or to the RPA themselves to, you know, dish out that money as they see fit.
But if they were, and this is all speculation.
All speculation.
So if they were over by £650,000 last year, presumably they're still over this year, because a few people have left, but they brought in some expensive players. Elliot Daly cannot be a marquee player. He might cost a few quid. Jack Singleton, England front row, not the highest profile name, but he might have cost a few quid.
Allegedly, Jack Singleton moved for less money than was an offer elsewhere. Because the Saracen brand is strong.
Yeah. And we have spoke about that in the past. Yeah. The chance to win Heineken Cups and Premierships, you might get a 10% reduction.
And presumably, not presumably, it's all very clear that the salary cap, that there's no way they could have explicitly spent over the salary cap.
Yes, because the salary cap will catch you.
Yeah.
So this is, again... This is why there's been a seven-month investigation.
It's why there's been a seven-month investigation, because there were... And again, if we take Saracens and Nigel Ray at their word, whatever extracurricular things have been going on, were done in good faith and with the understanding that they were within the rules.
But just on that point, to conclude that point, if they were £650,000 over last year, they would, I presume that they would still be over this year, which makes it very interesting of how do you, without saying we're going to drop your $7.5 million down to $6 million, just keep with the full salary.
We're going to liquidate that investment portfolio.
But well, yeah, you do that. But how do you then keep these players?
Well, I've been thinking about this, and this is how it will go, effectively, right? And we'll get to the players in a second. So nobody knows if they've breached the salary cap or not. There might be no. It might be like the Mueller report, completely exonerated, right? But it might not be. Now, if it hasn't, that report will outline, because what it is doing really is it's investigating the mechanisms in which you pay players. Now, at the moment, the mechanisms are fine, but as soon as the report comes out and it invalidates those mechanisms, we're then into your scenario, which is they now need to do something.
They now need to jettison players.
Yeah, exactly.
Or renegotiate their salaries.
So if you were smart, okay, if you wanted to do a bit of digging around, you would be looking at agents to see who they are hawking to other clubs to work out how they're going to get around this. So I suspect that they will be getting rid of players. And I suspect it'll be lads who are younger.
Joel Kapoku.
Might be going to, I don't know, Northampton Saints or someone. I don't know. Another one might be Max Mullins, who would go to
Exeter, mate.
Maybe goes to Exeter. I mean, 600K's worth of player. I mean, what do you do? Do you just get rid of two senior guys? Or do you get rid of eight academy lads? I don't know.
Get rid of one senior guy, potentially.
Yeah. Well, if he's worth
800K... Yeah.
It makes no difference.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I'd like to talk about, and it's not Saracens related, it is and it isn't, okay? How does this change the complexion of cap management? Because I think that's a far more interesting question. The argument would be that Saracens, Saracens can't possibly develop all of these players if they're not allowed to keep them. Why would they bother? To me, it's very obvious why you'd bother, because academy lads are very much cheaper than seasoned professionals. That's why you bother.
And well, you've got three years of Itoje, or however many years of Itoje on an academy contract.
Yes. Yes, there is that. I mean, I am sympathetic to Saracen people, you know, Saracens or elsewhere, and I'm not a Saracens fan, and I think the job that they have done as an organisation is... Well, England would not be World Cup finalists.
So I disagree.
Were it not for it? What, you disagree with that?
Yeah, and I tell you why. Because it implies, right, that Mario Itoje would not be playing rugby if it wasn't for Saracens. Now, he would be playing rugby. He might have come through the Saracens academy, but he might not be able to play at Saracens because Saracens couldn't afford him. So he'd be playing at Northampton or somewhere. So I don't... The argument, the very blunt version of that argument... which you just made, the very blunt version, would be, oh, well, Saracens just won't develop any players. They'll always develop players, but they'll just go somewhere else.
No, that's not my point. That's not my point. There is no... It is not an accident that so many incredible players have come through that system, and it's not because they just happened to, oh, we've just found these guys. Let's bring in Mario Itoje, Jamie George, and all of the rest of them. Let's bring all these players in, and wherever they were, they would be Lions and England World Cup finalists. The Saracens organisation has developed those players. Yes, they have the raw talent and the raw ingredients. And I would actually point to the two Vunipolas who didn't come through their academy, but the Saracens have had a huge role to play in developing them.
Yeah,
massive.
Yeah. No,
and the experience of Premiership finals, Heineken Cup finals, knockout rugby over and over again.
I've got to say, if they are found guilty, okay, with the information that is widely known already, with these, I mean, unless there's something completely revelationary in this report, and providing they're guilty, they could be innocent. I hate the fact that they would get fined for what they've done with their players. I think the whole point of rugby really is a way to institutionalise people a little bit longer, but it's also a way to network. And if you get rid of that networking, or you start to put around rules which are so stringent, like I couldn't work with you, Tim, because I play for Sale Sharks and you happen to be one of the sponsors. That's the whole point of rugby. Why is it okay then to do a work placement? Why is it okay to do anything?
This is the bit of the report that I'm looking forward to reading.
Yes.
Because, so what you're referring to is the companies the like adjacent periphery companies like Wigan Iron Limited, like Vunprop Limited, yep. and Faz Investments, and all the rest of them, where Nigel Ray is a director and equity, presumably an equity stakeholder, and a player is an equity stakeholder. Now, the bit that I want to see Premiership Rugby and the investigation square is if Nigel Ray has put an investment in that, it might be £5,000, it might be £100,000, it might any amount of money, that presumably would go as a director's loan.
Yes.
For which he would have full title of.
Yep.
So there'd be no transfer of title until 10 years down the line, X number of years down the line, or unless there is something written into that contract, or he's done it already, that says he has withdrawn the title to that asset, to that capital investment.
Yeah. And also, there is an inherent value. So Saracens, in my mind, can do anything they want, providing that they declare it. So Nigel Ray's money, his loan, that's obviously got an intrinsic value. And so long as they declare that intrinsic value, because he might be lending the players money at, you know, an incredibly cheap rate.
Generous rate.
In fact, yeah. no rate. He might actually have no interest rate on it whatsoever.
Yeah.
In which case, yeah, that's absolutely fine. Do that. But then work out what the value is of the thing that you've done.
Of the benefiting kind.
The benefiting kind, exactly.
The saved interest.
Yeah.
That's why I'm interested.
Just whack it on. Yeah, that's what we need to know.
That's why I'm interested in it. And for a really specific reason is because I suspect that these investments were an attempt, were consciously done to get around the salary cap. And if they were consciously done to get around the salary cap, and they are the thing that has tripped them up to failing in the salary cap. That's
a delicious irony.
Yes, it is. If you deliberately tried to cheat the system and failed in your cheating, so what you deserve to get caught.
Where I think what you need to do is you need to offer players something which isn't financial in a way, right? So you might go to Sale Sharks. I'm just going to say Sale Sharks. Because they have a really, really good relationship with the local insurance community, right? And therefore, you know, you get a good insurance job after you finish. That's absolutely fine. Not only is it fine, you know, it's a good thing. You might want to go to Northampton because you love the Northampton countryside or some such thing.
Or shoemaking.
Or shoemaking. You know, there must be some other... So the clubs have now got to make it as nice for the players as they possibly can.
Worcester, you want to
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
You want the Wi-Fi, you got the Wi-Fi.
I want the Wi-Fi in the house.
Yeah.
That's a benefit in kind.
You laugh,
Phil. Are they declaring their Wi-Fi for the Academy House?
Great question. So, I mean, you might laugh, Phil, but have you ever had a day without Wi-Fi? Nightmare.
Oh, it's horrible.
All your devices don't work. So,
some websites you can't go on without Wi-Fi.
No,
on 4G,
no.
It won't let you.
And some websites can't go on even when the Wi-Fi is working perfectly.
And I was referring to like betting websites, for example.
Exactly.
I was trying to read my World Cup preview on Betfair, and without Wi-Fi, you couldn't do it.
No, of course not.
Great World Cup preview, Tim.
So these loans, I mean, I actually don't think all these companies, I think it's a bloody good way to get players financially savvy, get them set up for post playing and so on and so forth, providing there's not an actual financial benefit for them. When I say financial benefit, you know, if Nigel Ray is just giving them hundreds of thousands of pounds
and writing it off,
that's clearly bad.
That is a big issue. Yeah. But that's the point, that if he's doing something to beat the system, but then just doing it so stupidly that he's just giving him £100,000 and writing it off.
Yeah.
Then they definitely deserve to be caught. 100%.
Also, it doesn't benefit Nigel Ray. People seem to forget this. The value of this enterprise, which is Premier Rugby, is the fact that it's a competitive league. If it's not a competitive league, you know, what is it that they're going to sell? Because that's where the value is. It's the value of the league and the competition.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what the report says. But having had alleged salary cap issues at clubs 5-6 years ago.
Wasps broke the salary cap, didn't they? Through VAT.
Small amount.
Oh, no, they were fined for that. It was a tiny amount because one agent moved his organisation from a non-VAT paying country to the UK.
So it can happen, is what I'm saying.
It can happen, but there was some alleged more significant and knowing breaches in the past at clubs which went unpunished, and I think the Premiership clubs, having had that kind of warning shot, if there is a breach this time, I think there are people going, I'm going
to
throw the book.
I was talking to a club CEO a while back about this, and his words were, because we do stick, I mean, of course you're going to say that, I guess, but because we do stick to it, if we found someone in material breach of these rules, we would want the book thrown at them, as would the owner. So the fly in the ointment now is the CVC people, because they really, really want to maintain the value of their investment. It is important. So it won't be, I don't think the option of brushing it under the carpet will... No. It's just not there anymore.
Definitely doesn't exist.
You know, it's not a boys' club. It's serious business.
Well, I mean, the other argument is if there's extra money that's been floating around that's been effectively used to pay players outside of the salary cap, then that has inflated players' values across the board.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. Agents talk, players talk.
Yeah.
I mean... You'd have to have such a close relationship with your stars to pay them, I don't know, in land or something, or something underhand. Because all it takes is like an injury or a fallout or something, and the whole thing is unravelled. And if it was found out that, you know, the most egregious version of salary cap cheating was found, I'm in the camp that it is as bad as doping in a lot of ways. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's breaking the agreed... rules and codes of conduct in order to gain a competitive advantage. Yeah.
Now, where I don't want this to go, have you ever read the rules for the N, the double N, or the, what's it called? College football? Double N.
NCAA.
Thank you. Now, they have rules, literally rules, which may have been amended now, but there used to be things like you may give your player a bagel, but you may not have peanut butter on the bagel to make sure that they're not giving...
You're not allowed to have a meal or anything.
Yes, just horrific rules.
So you can have snacks, but no meal.
Something like that.
But then you have to define the criteria for what a snack is.
Yeah.
Where does a meal replace... A protein shake? Replacement shake?
Exactly. So they actually had
protein
rules.
Protein shake, yes. Meal replacement shake, no.
I kid you not, they had rules on what you could put on bagels. And I don't want it to get to that. I mean, we do need players to be able to leverage their networks in order to go out and be successful post-career.
Liam Williams is the other rumoured name to be moving back to Wales, which may have nothing to do with this whatsoever. But if this report pans out as is rumoured, then that could be a consequence as well.
Yeah, so you know, get your cheap Saracens kids right now. Now, in the future, I hope what will happen is we'll see very, very savvy directors of rugby saying, "I want that kid, that kid, that kid, that kid," but we've got to let George Cruz go, because there has to be a decision, doesn't there? Do you keep George Cruz or do you keep Ezekwe, Kapoko, the other Kapoko, Skelton? I mean, who has to go? And those are the conversations I'm fascinated to watch.
Well, yes. And I wonder if these kind of conversations will resurrect the ring fencing conversation, because that again makes those sorts of decisions easier. Well, Will Skelton, great, but actually we've got Joel Kapoko and he's a young English guy, we're not going to get relegated. So
I don't really think it's fair to have a salary cap and relegation. I think you can have one or the other. They seem to have picked and built a Frankenstein league using bits and pieces from everyone else's league, sort of mashed them together. Don't really work.
But when we talk about how great it is.
It is great.
What a brilliant product it is.
It's the best product.
And those things, those elements, the salary cap and relegation, are part of the reasons why it's so compelling.
Salary cap, certainly.
It is.
You can't argue with relegation, can you?
No.
You can't.
Yeah.
Because every year it's like, brilliant. Unless they just have one team on ice every year. Like, you're just not allowed to play.
Just train for a year.
Yeah. I can't think of...
Like the Japan World Cup squad.
Yeah. The fascinating one for me, was Rugby League's million-pound game. It's so nasty, and it's like... It's just awful.
You need some thing really... You need a real big incentive not to be bottom. That could be relegation. It could be... Here's my proposal. You have to wear Quinn's change kit.
I wonder if there is a... I don't know what the answer is. Something weird, like if you come last, all of your contracts are still valid, but any other team can pick up your players for any amount. But there again, are you then incentivizing them to throw a game if they think Saracens will come in for them?
Yeah,
I'm not sure about that, because it wasn't there all sorts of weird stuff in the NBA about teams deliberately losing games
to get a higher draft pick.
So yeah,
Well, they do it in the NFL. They will tank.
Yeah.
In order to get that high draft pick.
They want
well, as a Jets fan, we've been doing that for years now.
Yeah. so many permutations here.
And presumably we'll find out very soon.
What on earth can the punishment be?
Well, as reported, 35 points.
No, for
finishing bottom. If you didn't have relegation, but you finished bottom... Maybe you should. Maybe the winners get to choose your team nickname for the next season.
Yeah. And your logo.
Yeah.
I had a thought about branding the other day. Like Bristol Bears, to be fair to them, worked out pretty good, actually. It feels like they've always been called Bristol Bears now.
Yeah.
But I love the idea that we can't possibly communicate to the wider world outside of rugby if we don't rebrand our team to something ridiculous like the Bears or...
The Gloucester Lions is coming soon, isn't it?
Like Gloucester Lions. I mean, obviously it's ridiculous, right? It is ridiculous. I thought, like, is there... Obviously there's examples, isn't there, of this going well. NFL, New York Jets. But then does anyone look at, like, second division rugby league and think, I really identify with the Batley Bulldogs because they've got Bulldogs on the end? You just think they look a bit tin pot.
Yeah, the Wakefield Wildcats.
Yeah, Wildcats, utterly tin pot. Wakefield Trinity, really cool. Like, there is...
And you're just opening up the door for some absolute melons to start complaining about cultural appropriation with Exeter Chiefs.
Exactly. Although Toronto Wolfpack is a cool name.
That is. Sonny Bill Williams to Toronto Wolfpack.
Is that right?
That's the rumour.
Wow.
Sonny Bill Williams to Toronto Wolfpack with a stake in the organisation.
Awesome.
As his little leverage to go there.
You know where... Oh, my God! You know where they train, right? Same place as Tok H.
What?
MMU. Yeah, so their offices, last time I checked at least...
Sonny Bill's coming to Manchester.
Sonny Bill will be in Manchester. Yeah, of course.
Oh,
he
my
will.
God!
Because it was in Bradford, the training base, and right. Now they moved to... Manchester, and they have 3 weeks here, then 3 weeks out there.
Question: we have on our Twitter profile and stuff. We have a picture of the three of us with Jacques Berger, all time hero of the pod.
Yeah.
We also have a picture of Sia Khaleesi, which the three of us met him at the World Rugby Awards. It's a pretty cool picture.
The Jacques Berger one's cooler though.
The Jacques Berger one is cooler. But if we got a picture with Sonny Bill, could Sonny Bill knock Jacques this Berger place. off our? Ooh. Off our profile.
The thing
picture.
Is, if he does come and I'm lucky enough to interview him, and believe you me, I'll be at the door at MMU every bloody day until I do. I'm not calling you losers. He's all mine. All mine.
Hypothetically, if we got a picture of Sonny Bill, would he?
No, because Jack Berger stands for everything which is right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything.
For any question in life or rugby, what would Jack do?
Exactly.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So yeah, we've covered the Wolfpack nicely, and we've covered there's loads of interesting things going on with the Wolfpack, and I won't tell you about that now because it's a Rugby Union podcast, but yeah, it's really exciting. So there's just a few more games that we haven't covered off.
Wasps Bath.
I tell you what, this is a great result. I mean, this is genuinely a great result. I was so worried about Wasps because if they lose this, I don't think their next win is until they play Harlequins week 6.
They look
but they did it.
Their side looks good.
Jimmy Gopeth back.
The
strings.
Yeah.
Jimmy Gopeth allows you to use Fekitoa and Minotsi and Adogwu and Kibirigi.
Doggers is great, isn't he?
Yeah.
Little tank.
Yeah.
From Coventry as well.
Well, he's from South Sharks, but, you know. We all know where he developed his skills.
Raised
he was Tigers Academy originally.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's a decent player.
With the irony that he went to Sale... expecting game time.
He got game time.
He got some game time.
He got
first
loads of game
FC.
Time. No, he did very well at Sale when they...
before they signed Denny.
Yeah, before they got really good.
And Chris Ashton.
But Lima Sopawanga just seemed to have a little bit more confidence. And again, it's the Jimmy effect.
The pressure. Jimmy taking pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having little Jimmy just in your ear, just telling you you're great. Pumping up your tyres.
Yeah, if you're Wasps fan, thank your stars for this win, because it is big. I do see them beating Harlequins now, and then after that, I don't know. It just shows the bottom of this table is going to be an absolute nightmare.
It also shows home field advantage is massive, and wins on the road wherever they are big.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Because Bath looked really good last week at home.
How did Bath win a game last week? I don't understand that. I'll never understand this league. How does that happen?
Home field advantage is massive.
But, like, why? Yeah. Why? I mean, do they get stronger or something? He'll net
familiar that, surroundings.
Wait, I'm sure Phil must have read a book about home field advantage.
The statistics behind it are definitely true. I would only speculate that the usual surroundings and scenario, the partisan crowd, not having to spend a night in a hotel or travel for 6 hours, all those things, they all add up. If you're playing in France, the opposition prop, the away team prop, not tying up his bootlaces, that has an effect.
Oh, in France, it's just the away team just being the B team.
Yes, yeah.
But also the psychological subconscious effect it has on officiating.
Yeah.
So yeah. There are some players that are playing in France now who are claiming, as I know, well, they are claiming, that playing in France is actually easier for longevity than playing in England.
Because you only play a hard game every other week.
Exactly right. You're playing 14
and they
games.
Don't, and they don't have salary caps, so they can have a massive squad of amazing players.
Well, they have a very loose-fitting cap.
Their salary cap is as fast and loose as Jerome Garcés's interpretation of the offside line.
Which I think is perfect. I think it's a perfect interpretation.
Let the boys play.
Exactly.
And the other game we've not mentioned, Saracens. After speaking for at great length about Saracens on this podcast, we didn't mention that their narrowest of narrow wins.
Ground out a win fortuitously.
I would say a draw would have been the right result, particularly as Manu Vernapola slotted a very nice penalty after the whistle had gone. It, in my mind, should have been a penalty to London Irish. The Saracens player, who was jackling the ball, went in there fairly and after half a second was off his feet and continued to jackal the ball, and the penalty was given in his favour. So I think London Irish will be, they're unlucky not to get the draw in that scenario.
I'm looking at the Saracens team now and I can honestly say that is a mid-table bottom four looking team. I mean, it just is. So to get any win is bloody brilliant. And by the way, how well is Ben Earl playing? Last 3 weeks has been exceptional.
3 tries in 2 games.
And we mentioned him last week, but you know, I don't know where he fits into the national pit. Maybe he never does. Maybe he is, you know,
The next Jackson Ray.
Exactly what I'm thinking. Just a great, great clubman who happens to be around where there's a load of other great, great guys. But he's been playing superbly.
Because we spoke about it in the past. Everyone's highlighted it. The depth of England's back row options and the potential of guys who are in that 19 through to 24 category is just exceptional.
It really is. And then...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Again.
I mean, like I say, if I was a Sale fan, I'd have been furious. Absolutely furious.
But it's Bristol, again, Bristol at home.
Bristol good.
It's a tough place to go.
But they weren't good. Where and how did you watch it?
So hold on, there was a live game on and you watched Bristol v Sale.
Well,
I love how you tweeted out, anyone know where I can watch Bristol?
What I also,
oh, right, it's Bristol you want to watch.
So
it,
the thing is...
They play a great brand of rugby too.
No. What you need to understand is this. I'm aware that I work with two very, very professional co-podcasters. I knew you'd be all over the Northampton game, and I've lots to say. So who's watching Bristol?
Quite right.
Who's watching Bristol? They sold 14,000 tickets for this. Amazing, isn't it? 14,000 tickets. Bristol. I mean, that is some club. I know this every week, but it is some club. This wasn't some game.
No.
I thought this would be a JB classic if the result was the other way.
Do you know? So there's a few things which are probably worth...
Yeah, you love a turgid, close...
Kicking,
kicking,
lots
duel.
Of knock-ons,
some close kicking games, well, number one, I thought we're finally starting to see Rohan Janssen von Rensburg play a little bit like he used to be. He was very, very good compared to everyone else. The other really interesting one is Joen Lloyd scored another try.
Another try?
Yeah.
Now, he's been lucky in some ways. They've just been gifted to him. But he still had to score them.
Yeah. And he's got to earn the right to get on the pitch ahead of other higher paid talent.
Yeah, there might be something in this kid. I mean, I look at him, he just looks like a man made out of Twiglets. But he will fill out. He will get he will get bigger. And I wonder if he must be super talented just to be there.
I was thinking this, every single Premiership side has now, with Joe Simmons being handed the keys at Exeter, every Premiership side has a definite first choice fly half, except for Sale. And AJ McGinty was back, came off the bench.
Yeah, and I tell you what, they looked like a better team with him in the side.
I was going to say,
no two ways about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Again, for your fantasy rugby draft team, thinking it's great having both Sale fly halves might be bad if they only play 50 minutes a game. But
yes.
It was. I was going to ask AJ back. Do you see him as being the clear number one?
In my heart, he's always been the clear number one. Yes, I honestly think he is the number one. I think he's a much smarter player than people give him credit for. His kicking, I think his kicking stats might be the best in the Prem. I mean, he just doesn't miss. And he's hard, as in, like, his tackle, he doesn't miss tackles.
Yeah.
Biggest problem with him, he's too small. He gets hurt.
I guess my point was that's something that's going to play out and... every single other side in the Premiership, you know who the number one 10 is.
Except for maybe Worcester, who can go between John O'Lance and...
It's Duncan Weir.
It is Duncan Weir, definitely.
Yeah, I agree with that. Sale need a number one fly half, and I think they might go the way of Rob Dupree, because he strikes me as a guy who's always available. And look at his genetics. Look at his bloody brothers. Yeah. Like, these aren't boys that take a backward step, and they're pretty robust. So that will play in his favour, because you'd rather have a fly half that's fit every week than a fly half that's only fit,
And he won't be missing for America's Cup, or whatever it's called, the Pacific Nations Cup in February time. He won't be missing any games.
Yeah. Cam Redpath moved to 13, which is interesting, because where is this boy going to play? He needs to have a solid position. Let's just talk about Bristol, though, a second. Didn't realise how fast Luke Daniels was. Crikey, he's rapid.
The winger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely rapid. I'm liking Bristol. I'm liking them a lot. I think they're going to... they're not top four. They're going to be top six.
You can have a charge for top six winning your home games.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You can.
You definitely can.
Is that every game?
Yeah.
That's it all.
What's coming up?
Okay. Well, Montauban versus Biarritz next Thursday. I wish I could watch that. Thursday Night Rugby. We haven't spoken about the Pro 14. Is there anything worth talking about there?
No.
50-0. Glasgow versus
the Kings.
Now, back to my point about player welfare, right? On the last podcast, sorry, we've been recording for so long now, we mentioned player welfare. The third place game shouldn't go ahead, according to some pundits, because of player welfare. Where is the safety in Glasgow beating Kings 50-0? Where is the utility of this game? Why would anyone want to watch it? Leinster beat Dragons 50-15. So we obviously learned a lot about those two teams.
And as we've spoken about many times, the issue with the Pro 14 is when internationals are on, their teams are decimated.
Weirdly, the Dragons shouldn't be decimated, though, should they?
No, that's a fair point.
Yeah. I mean, they really shouldn't be. I'm looking through it, and they pretty much weren't. So anyway, that's your Pro 14 roundup. Hope you've enjoyed it.
And it was a pretty much total second string Leinster team.
Wonderful news. Next week, then, we have Friday night, a game I will be attending. And it probably will be under the light. Well, definitely will be in the lights. It'll probably be on BT Sport as well.
Yep.
Sale versus Wasps.
Yes.
Mm. Huge game.
How do you fancy your chances?
Well, if I supported Wasps, I wouldn't be particularly hopeful about this one. Sale at home. I mean, Sale would win at home with a team which cost half the amount which this one does. Probably say Sale.
Definitely
Sale.
Yes. I think that.
Bath, Northampton. At Bath.
So Bath will be hoping, based on the way that they've been playing rugby, they'll be hoping for miserable conditions.
Yep.
Blowing a gale, sideways rain.
How is this a thing for Bath? How is it a thing for Bath? I mean, they should be all about the celebration of the beautiful game. I mean, they should be... Bath and Harlequin should be like those sort of teams. Yeah, fine, if you want to bulk it up a bit with some forwards, sure. But they shouldn't be hoping for miserable wet weather.
That's the other one. Sorry, Bath are a team that don't have a definite fly half. Well, they do seem to at the minute with Reece Priestland. He seems to have picked him as number one. But they're a club which have a slight question mark. In a different way from Sale, they have a question mark over their 10 jersey.
Yes.
And Priestland was almost let go last season.
I love it so much.
Except Bath couldn't find anyone better than him to replace him, so they offered him a new contract.
So, Reece, we're going to let you go. Fine. Now, Reece, we haven't been able to sign Aaron Cruden.
Andre Pollard.
Danny Cipriani. None of them have come. Will you come back? Yeah, if you give me double my money.
So, yeah, he is their first choice.
He has to be. They paid him so much.
But, yeah. Interesting strategy.
I have a theory about Priestland. Do you want to hear it?
Go on.
This is harsh to the point of being unfair, I guess. But I think he was signed because he wouldn't threaten George Ford when he was there.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a backup, but without the threat. And obviously his dad, George Ford's dad, signed him.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why he's there. And now they're left with him and Freddie Burns. It's an absolute nightmare, actually.
Well, who they swapped for George Ford. With Leicester,
what were they?
Who knows at that club? Did Mike Ford definitely? Was he definitely the one that signed him? I'm not saying
it might have been Gary Gold, it might have been.
Well, it wasn't Gary Gold?
Might have been Bruce Craig.
Might have been Bruce Craig. There is a story about Bath, like the coach not knowing who the players are when they show up. They've just been signed. Was it this prop Pez? Is it Pez? Not Pez. Anyway, doesn't matter, but. Yeah, I'd say Northampton are going to win this.
So the most striking statistic I found this weekend, which does suggest something about the way that Bath are intending to play, was that Freddie Burns played 80 minutes at fullback for Bath, ran 1 metre with ball in hand.
That's amazing.
1 metre.
That's staggering, actually.
As a fullback.
I mean, you have to really...
How is that possible?
It's almost impossible. Comparing to Minozzi... He's opposite the man who did 68 metres. Charles Pietau, 106 metres.
Bjarne got 100 metres.
He was a
Hammersley,
nightmare.
70 metres.
Did you see Hammersley take the ball into the line?
Bjarne, 90-odd metres.
Crikey.
Stuart Hogg, 122 metres. Furbank, 90 metres. Aaron Morris, 100 metres. So 1 metre is just astonishing.
You would go forward a metre in the act of kicking
the ball.
Your initial thought as a rugby player is go forward.
Go forward.
No matter what it is, go forward. You'd have to,
kicking whilst running backwards.
Yeah.
Maybe he just realised kicking it over his shoulder.
Yeah. Breaching his box kicks.
Unless he's
takes the ball, no one running for 20 yards, sets up a box kick. Yeah. Box kick.
Unless he's just going straight to touch, facing his hips, so going straight out.
I didn't watch the game.
I've not seen any of the games.
Maybe he was volleying the ball with his kicks.
Yeah. Now, you'd understand it, wouldn't you, if the player involved was someone like, Mark van Gisbergen. You might get your head wrapped around that one. Oh, yeah, that's how he plays.
Butch James, you're playing at 15 this week.
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
Fine, bang. Not Freddie Burns. He's a good, pretty good player. Pretty electric player.
1 metre.
1 metre.
It's not that he did one 20-metre run, but then he got smashed back 19 metres.
No, because they don't actually count that.
Negative yards. They don't count negative yards.
The Opta guys.
Yeah, when I was trying to get some extra metres for some of my players.
Yeah, but mind you, we
shouldn't we say that, should we?
We have... You have seen Opta people just kind of go,
looks
that?
Like 3 metres.
3 metres?
Yeah. Yeah. It's five. It was 5 metres and two defenders beaten.
And I have to say, the little media area at Bath... just by the commentary boxes, they have a lovely selection of sandwiches and cakes for you and hot chocolate and stuff. So maybe the Opta guy turned his back.
Can I just say, one of the most pleasing developments this season is the food in the media room at Sale has really, really shot up.
Ooh.
Yeah, we get...
It's important.
Yeah,
we're just...
Season.
Yeah, you should do.
That's...
pies. You get pies now in chafing dishes. They're really good. Really good.
Right, if we're talking about the pies at sale.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Time to go. Yeah, well, we've not finished our predictions yet.
Oh, God.
I'm going to go Saints just.
Saints just, okay.
Saints just. Unless it's Typhoon Hagibis makes its way to Bath.
I think this might be the most interesting game for me of the weekend. Harlequins Worcester. Now, not many people will think of that as an interesting game. I certainly think it is.
It doesn't immediately strike you as one based on form of, say, the past 5 years. But I think this is intriguing.
I fancy Worcester. I really do.
Home advantage.
Quins at home.
Give me home advantage.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I need Dom Brandt to pull his finger out for my fantasy team. Come on, Dommers.
Yeah, he's been figured out. He's had his one good season and everyone's figured him out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I want to pick Worcester, though. I really want to pick Worcester. But I think you're right. Harlequins will win. Squeak it. Gloucester Saracens.
Gloucester
at the Shed. Saracens without all their internationals.
Yeah.
Gloucester for me.
Give me Gloucester.
It could round off a awful week for Saracens.
God, there are some really...
Potentially, yeah.
Some really good matchups this week. There's another cracker. London Irish Leicester.
Yeah.
At London Irish. London Irish will be targeting this.
Yeah. Give me London Irish.
London Irish.
Maybe
a good win against Gloucester.
It was a good win. But it was playing up at home.
Leicester have now got Lavanini in, that Bolladow guy in the... It sounds like a Welsh name. He's Fijian. In their back row. And... Vianu fit and playing again. Noel Reid looking good.
Noel Reid, what a signing. How do you have Noel Reid as your... How do you get up to the salary cap and have Noel Reid as your backup? Anyway, Leicester, yeah. Give me London Irish.
Give me London Irish.
And last but not least, this might be the Sunday game on BT Sport, actually. Exeter, Bristol Bears.
This is interesting. Bristol can do this. I don't think they will.
Bristol can do this. Where do Bristol beat Exeter here? Nah, Sandy Park, right? Sandy Park, no way. Exeter will win this. They will have enough.
Yeah, Exeter. Because Exeter did show, while they didn't play particularly amazing, they showed they know how to grind out a result.
So are we saying we all agree on everything except for Harlequins Worcester?
And London Irish Leicester.
Okay, yeah. Interesting week. This is a cracking week of games.
Yes.
Oof. Okay, well, that's it. And then after that, we've got no more Premiership for 4 weeks. Or is it 2 weeks? 2 weeks of Europe.
Your God, straight back into Europe.
We've got another round of Premiership.
Yeah, two rounds of Prem, then Europe.
14th, 15th, 16th is the first round of the Heineken Cup.
You are right. There you go. No, hang on. Friday. What's this?
So weekend after this one.
November 14th.
Yeah. This is the fourth round of Premiership games, isn't
it? That's right. So we've got two weeks
of Heineken Cup next week.
Yeah, so one more Prem, then...
Now, here's an interesting one. Glasgow Sale. Glasgow's quite interesting, quite easy to get to. Just saying, away day.
I'm there.
What, at Glasgow?
Yeah.
With who?
Work.
What, on the Saturday?
On the Saturday.
Are you going to be able to go to the game?
I'm at the game with work. Glasgow Sale.
Oh, interesting.
What ones am I doing? I think I'm working Gloucester and Bath that weekend.
Gloucester got Toulouse, Bath have got Ulster.
Yes.
Nice. Oh, that's really put a different spin on it then. Oh my goodness, I love Glasgow and I like Sale.
So here's a question. So Saracens in 2 weeks' time play Racing 92 in the Defence Arena.
What a name that is.
World Cup final players will have had 1 week off.
No, they'll have had 2 weeks off. If you count, like, now being off.
But they played a World Cup final yesterday.
Yeah.
They'll have 1 weekend off. They'll have 2 weeks. They'll have one weekend's worth of games off. Surely they're not going to get put back in for that.
No, they're not. Surely. Not all of them. George Cruz, yes.
Yes.
Ben Spencer, yes.
Ben Spencer, yes.
Yes.
Farrell,
Jack Singleton. Jack Singleton, definitely.
Yes. Farrell, no. Billy.
No, Farrell, no. Billy, Matthew.
Hang on, isn't the thing about Farrell that more you play,
Jamie
the better
George,
he gets?
No.
Definitely with Billy.
Like the compounding effect.
Definitely with Billy.
Daly, Farrell, Vunipola's,
Jamie George. No.
Itoji, no.
Will Elliot Daly be playing for his parent club of London Scottish? Allegedly. All right, fine.
On that note, I've got a tram to catch.
Yes, you bloody hell, you do.
It seemed like a long time ago when
right,
we started this
Yeah,
podcast.
We did. We definitely did. Hit subscribe, listen, share, tell your mates, and let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.